My name is Cecile Taylor, Rolph, Iowa.
But you didn't grow up here, did you?
No, I didn't grow up here, but I've been here 59 years this month.
I guess I'm kind of curious where you grew up.
Well, I grew up in the town of Rutland, down by the river and the dam that was supplying everybody with electricity down in that neck of the woods.
What do you remember about that dam and the electricity?
Oh, quite a lot, because we lived close to the river, and my brother-in-law ran the dam when it was all the, and not everybody could go in there, but we got to go and look around because the, you just couldn't believe all the things that were going around in there. And then we could go back around the dam, and we fished for crappies. And then they had the big gates where they would open to let the water come through when the water was too high. And there was a dike went from the bank clear down the river. And my dad and I spent lots of times fishing on the old dike down there. And we lived just about a block from the river on the other side. So I remember the dam well, and there was a place where we could go. The park, they've really built that up now. And but when we were there was a creek that run back from the upper part of the dam, and you just would catch bluegills, and we did a lot of fishing and picnicking at the park. And there was an old rowboat, and it took four people to row it, and it leaked. And this was a kind of a special memory because I had four brothers, and I had a sister too, but she was older, because her husband was the one that worked in the plant down there. And we'd take that, there's an island up the river, I think it's still up there, and because it's up in that territory where it was flooding so bad if they didn't open the gates. And it took four to row and one to bail because it leaked. And my brothers usually rowed, and I usually, if I wanted to go with them, I had to bail. So we'd bail all the way up the island, and we'd go up there and look around a little and come back. So I have lots of memories of the river and the dam there, because it's, I've been down there to see it now, and they've got to really have redone the park and everything, but it's not like the old one was, which you enjoyed as a kid.
What was your family situation growing up?
Well, there were six children, and my mother and dad, and my dad was a barber. And I don't know how he raised six children on 25-cent haircuts, but he did. And when we lived in a house, and what we did, you just did things for entertainment. You didn't have to be entertained. We didn't have programs going all the time. And the whole town of Rutland, you get together at night and play Chalk the Corner, and anybody that lived there could take part in those things. And right back of our place, we had an old swimming hole. And all of us had matching bathing suits, the old knit that went to your knees and black with white decoration on them. And there was, my one brother was a really good swimmer. He taught all the rest of us to swim. And so the whole family would just go down to that, go through the pasture down to the old swimming hole. And so that's one of the memories. And I guess my worst memory of growing up was when we all had scarlet fever. And they quarantined you. We were quarantined for a long time. And so Dad couldn't come home. My sister was married. She lived down at the dam. There's two cottages down there where they, the people, the men that run the dam, got to live in those cottages. So Dad lived with her. But every night, it was quite a walk. He'd come down to talk to us through the window. But you know, for five of us to have scarlet fever, we were in a really long time. And as we got better, then we could go out to play. So we would take, I was probably about, oh, 11 or 12, I suppose, when we had that. And then we took the old nail kegs, and we made skis out of them and wrapped around our place. We'd go out in the, and there was a pasture next to us that had nothing growing in it, and the neighbors, they didn't care if we came over there. So we made these skis out of barrel staves. And my mother was always interested in cooking. And I guess the thing I remember is the outhouse, because the boardwalk didn't lead to the beach at our place. And we had a big garden. And I remember my dad used to give me a penny for picking ladybugs off his potatoes. And you don't even hear about potato bugs anymore on plants. And then the farmers that couldn't, they'd have run, a pigs, litter of pigs, and the runts, they couldn't do much with them. So they'd bring in the boys a runt, and they'd fatten him up. And so then in January, I don't know if we had colder winters or what, but the man that was the butcher in town, he'd come down and butcher that hog, and they'd hang it on a tree, and it would freeze overnight. He'd know, they watched the weather noon, so then, oh, they mom salted it down, and she made head cheese, and we had pork chops, and we had everything from that pig. And well, she kind of preserved everything but the squeal, I think, because she used every part of it. I think our rent was like maybe $7 a month, and I guess we couldn't afford that because then I was in junior high, and we had to move out of there. And the place where Dad had the barber shop, it used to be a big old hotel, and so we moved upstairs there when the Depression hit. And then my mother was a practical nurse. She just took care of everybody and everything, and she did that even after the Depression. If anybody needed help, she was there to help them. And it was the old Dr. Coddington that was in Humboldt. And so she'd be gone, because then when we used to have babies, it was 10 days you stayed down. So they'd call the doctor to come, and the husband would usually come and get my mother, and she'd go out and be there when the doctor delivered the baby. And she stayed for 10 days, and she would do the washing and taking care of the mother and the baby and the kids and do all the housework and everything. And she got $1 a day, and that was, pretty big money. And sometimes she would go on another case before she'd get home. That didn't happen too often. But so we all kind of learned to cook, but we all had our. My brothers, two of them especially, did a lot of cooking. And my oldest brother, he was great for making donuts, and he'd make donuts with square holes and square donuts with round holes. So we had, I don't know, I remember the fun things. And our big old piano wouldn't go upstairs, and so we had that in the barber shop. And a lot of times, all the kids from town would gather around, and all about mom could play was hymns, but she could play a lot of hymns. And then in the old barber shop there, my dad had a pool table, and it was a nickel a game. And while they were waiting to get their haircut, or sometimes they just come in and played pool. And sometimes I'd get a nickel for racking the balls up, and I was not too bad a pool player. I liked to play pool too. And when the families came to get their haircut, like the whole family would come. And we had just benches clear along one wall, Dad did. And the mother and the dad and three or four kids would come in, and sometimes he wouldn't get out of there till midnight. And then the other thing that I remember about when I was a kid too was the gypsies that went through with the big touring cars. And so as soon as it was usually in the summertime, and their car was just packed, and of course that was it spread over that little town if the gypsies were coming in. And so mom would always say, "You've got to go over and watch the drawer at the barber shop," because we didn't have cash registers, you just had your money in a drawer. And that's what they would do. They would get whoever was working there their attention, and then somebody else would get in the drawers and take the money. So that was always an exciting time when the gypsies came. It was a medicine man used to come to town, and my dad always bought snake oil from him. He thought that helped his rheumatism. And so I never tried the snake oil, so I don't know, but I've wondered to this day when my joints aren't going if I needed a little snake oil. And then I remember the bad winters where you just couldn't get out of town. And my folks never owned a car, so we just walked but most everybody walked, and there were not a lot of people that had cars just for touring around like they do. But the boys, when they were in high school then, they'd have the little nine turnies in Goldfield. And if the road got closed out to the highway, there was one of the kids had a car, they'd shovel through those big snowbanks to get to that little nine turny, because we were always into, there were a lot of sports. And Rutland had an old opera house, and now the Pronto, the pro co-op, it's taken that over. And I thought when I go through there, I should go back and see, because it was really a nice old building, hardwood floors and stage, dressing rooms in the back. And that's where we used to have the nickel movies. It was a nickel, and they'd play these movies, and it would be a nickel for a sack of popcorn. And then they used to have dances, and that's where we sometimes put on our school plays, because they had the stage and everything there. So it was exciting in that little old town. And it was a blind lady that lived right next to the opera house, and she had the old loom that you wove rugs on. And somehow or other, she kind of liked me, and so I would go in and I could help do things on that to weave the old rugs. And we got along really, really well. So there's lots of, and Halloween was not like it is now. Well, I can remember though, some of them were, but they would take wagons and put them up on the lumber yard, on the roof of the lumber yard, and you couldn't get through Main Street either, because I don't ever remember having a cop in town when we were growing up. So I have lots of memories growing up, and everybody said it was a depression, and I hear a lot of complaint, and I wouldn't want to go back to living that way. And the boys would cut wood, that we could burn in the stove, because we just had a stove upstairs and downstairs. But when we lived down in the house by the river, the worst thing is our old Maytag machine, washing machine, had to sit out in the porch. So, and Monday was always, we always had days to do things. Monday was wash day. So they'd have to bring the old washer in the kitchen so it would warm up, put the boiler on the stove. Then in the morning, because sometimes it was so cold that we would stand on chairs to dress, because those floors were cold in that house. And the upstairs was, well, the old narrow stairway going up. And there was two bedrooms upstairs, and that's all that was in the bedroom downstairs. So, and the boys always got one room, and then we got the other, and the folks were downstairs. And then we had the warm morning heater when we things got a little better, I guess, because those would hold the fire overnight real good, and it was just little fine coal that built up, and so that was. Well, and they used to have trap chutes, and we'd go down after the trap chute was over. We'd go pick up the little saucers that were there was a lot of them that would be there, and we'd just use those. We thought that was like finding a gold mine to pick up those little saucers that was there, and we did a lot of going for hunting for grapes. There were grape vines growing all around down there, and my dad would fish and hunt, and they used to eat the rabbits, years ago. So, and I always like, I could work with my dad really good. I'd hold the hind legs while he skinned them, and he'd bring turtles in. We'd have turtle soup. Some of those turtles were pretty big, and somehow they took that top shell off, and then they cleaned them, and you just used the. And I don't know how mom could make anything out of any wild thing dad brought in. She'd make it do something with it, because that was our kind of our meat, our meat besides the chickens that we raised. And we raised ducks too. We raised everything. And there's the one older lady that lived there. I remember she went south, and when she came back, she brought back a colored boy with her, and he lived with her all the time. But he was the nicest, and his name was Jack Wells. And my dad and him, he'd go hunting with my dad, and so then mom would always invite him to come when they had turtle soup or whatever they'd caught. So we grew up with him, and then we used to have tent shows there. And of course, we didn't always have a lot of money. And so I remember the one time he gave me a quarter, because they were selling boxes of candy with prizes in them. And I still have the little salt and pepper shaker that I got in that. Well, we were just glad to have enough money to go to the tent show. We didn't need a treat, too. And of course, we had a girls' basketball team, and I was running center, and they don't even have a running center anymore, but they had one in the middle because they thought it was too difficult for the girls to pass the ball from the forwards to the guard, the guards to the forwards, and so they had a running center. I know we played awful hard, and I always got a real red face when I did, and I better. And we played, because basketball, running center, you did a lot of running, And I always, because it took me a long time for my face to get over the redness when the game was over.
So the
But
ball had to come to you before it could go to the other end.
yes,
They couldn't pass it from.
they couldn't pa a guard couldn't pass up to a forward. They had to hit, you had to go through the running center. And it was just a small court in the middle, not as wide as the other two courts on the end.
So did the, so then somebody was guarding you?
Oh yes.
What was
They
the status?
had a running center in there, and we had a running center, and you guarded each other to try to get the ball away. When they were passing to their running center, I was trying to get the ball away from them so they couldn't get it down to their forwards. And that was the it was kind of hard work.
And tell me again what you wore.
And big black bloomers. I mean, they went down to our knees, and then we made kind of midi tops in home ec. And my number was 13, I remember that. And they just had a, they didn't have sleeves in, but the bloomers, I don't know, they were big, they'd get in your way sometimes even when you were trying to pass the ball and do those things. When we played softball, we played that a really lot. And kitten ball, they kind of called it. Well, they thought I'd make a good catcher, but I've got afraid of the bat because every once in a while somebody'd throw the bats. So I ended up playing first base most of the time. But now in our high school, just went to 10 grades. And so then you had to go somewhere else to school. So I kind of wanted to go to Bode because they had a girls' basketball team. And they went to the state tourney that year. But my mother thought I needed to go to Humboldt. So I went to Humboldt for the 2 years. And that's when I got my normal training certificate because. And then I was only 17 when I graduated, and you couldn't have your teacher's certificate till you were 18. So then I worked, there was two grocery stores and a cafe and a bank in the olden days down there and a hardware store. And I worked in the one grocery store then for the man that ran that. And then I would really have always had, I just wanted to go to college so bad, but there's no way we could, I wanted to go to Cedar Falls because I knew I liked teaching and I liked kids and I liked that. And I knew there was no way we could swing that. So Rutland finished their high school in 19, I graduated from Humboldt in 1935 and they finished their high school. So they had 12 grades in 36. And so I just decided I was going to go back and take a post-grad course. Well, I think I'm the only one that ever went back to the little old Rutland High School and took post-grad. And I worked that summer staying with kids for my uncle for $3 a week. And if I saved the whole summer my $3, I had $36 that paid my tuition to go take the post-grad course. And that was a fun year because I was a lot into, well, they call it speech now, into declam. And they had county contests, and I was pretty good at, I was usually in dramatics. And you know, they had only, you only got one first and one second and one third. They didn't, you know, now they come out and, you know, a lot of them might be best. But in that day, when you got a one, you were the only one to get it. Of course, there weren't nearly as many, you know, kids involved. And then when I was in high school, then if you were in that, then they had the organization. It was the D of D Club in Humboldt. And so in high school down there, I made the D of D Club, which was pretty good when I came in from a class. I graduated in Humboldt with, there were eight of us. I mean, I graduated in Rutland, there were eight of us. And I went into a class of 64. And so you're a little intimidated, but so I was glad when I got into that. And that was a secret. Nobody was supposed to know what the D of D stood for. But now they don't even have that. But my niece, who's it's my brother's girl, and they've all gone to Humboldt School. And she was in the D of D. They had that when she went there a few years ago. And they had a celebration. So we got to go to that together to the D of D banquet they had. And so then it was, they let the name out. It was Disciples of Demosthenes. And they'd have a time when you had to get orientated into that if you were taken into it. And I remember what they had me doing was, you know, the old ironing boards were big, heavy wooden ones. and you carried a heavy wooden ironing board to all your classes that day. And if any of the old members stopped in front of you, you had to get down and untie their shoe and untie it again. So, I mean, it was just, and I don't know how they kept that name that secret.